You know what I'm saying? It's today.
Let the song of the Lord, 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 let the song of the Lord greater than glory.
Give God praise. He's worthy to be adored. He's worthy to be lifted up. He's worthy to be magnified. And sometimes I know that you may not be able to lift up your voice when you're at work, but there should be something on the inside of you that should allow the praises of God to be radiated on the outside of you. And most of the time, if you're not really careful, what you fail to realize is that your lifestyle is the very worship that God desires to have for you. Yes. So there's something on the inside that God wants to know about. There's something on the inside that God desires for you to do.
Thank you.
You're worthy of all glory. You are worthy of all honor. And God, we thank you. We lift you up and we magnify your most holy name. And for that, God, we praise you. We honor you. And we bless your name today. Come on and give God praise. He's worthy. Worthy of the praise. I'm going to do one more. I'm going to have one more. That's in my spirit I want to do. We're coming up to that time.
Are you a Christian?
You better know if you're a Christian.
Amen.
But we are coming up to a time where it's very sacred. A time that is something that outside of the soups and outside of the Easter egg hunts and outside of the baskets and outside of all the things that we do for this particular time. We have to make an acknowledgement of what Christ did on the cross for us. But not only the acknowledgement of what he did, but also what he didn't do. And what I mean by that is, he didn't turn his back on us. Path
he wanted to go. And he took Denias when we denied him. And he didn't run when they pursued him. And he didn't stay on the cross. And he didn't stay in the grave. I'm so glad that he rose again.
Thank you. Mary from victory.
Amen.
God is good. They say I knew. So there's some things that you're not worthy to, but God stepped in. And everything that's been taken from you, God gives it back in triple, fivefold, everything. I just want to say God is good. I am so excited that He is so good to me, and the same way He did for me, He can do it for you. Amen. 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 I'm actually going to go ahead, and if you hear a person right before, we want to just thank God. God, we ask you to thank you for the seed you have given us. God, we thank you for the increase right away, whatever it needs to be increased. God, we thank you for the seed that's been sown here at RTR. It can be going back into you, helping each and every one, as our mission statement says. Yes, Lord, we thank you right now, Lord. We thank you for the seed that's been sown. And every each person that sows the seed, God, we ask you to bless you. Increase their territory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you. Yes, God, thank you.
Turning lives around.
Decrease, that you may be increased. I pray, Father, that your glory, your spirit, and your love exudes from me today, that your people may be blessed. For God, we don't know what state or what circumstance these people may be in, but God, it is an opportunity that if they plugged in right here, if they begin to turn that channel or turn and was scrolling on Facebook or whatever it was, God, that God, you would have a word for your people. God, I pray, Father, that I step out of the way, that I be decreased, Father, that my agenda, my plan, my purpose, whatever I feel that I need, or whatever I feel that I am, or whatever I feel that I need to do, Father, cancel the assignment, but let your assignment be made known. Let your will be done. Let your shekona, let your glory be made known now in the name of Jesus. Because you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords.
Yes, yes.
My God, that is who you are. Hey. Amen. Miracle work, promise keep. Light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. I'm going to be ready for the word of God. Yes, God, yes, God. I'm going to be ready for the word of God. Amen, amen. If you don't know it by now, my name is Pastor Douglas, and I'm here as a servant to be a blessing to you by the preaching of the word of God. And I'm so excited because of the fact, we're going to get to this in a few moments, but I want to kind of recap what we had did before. You have been plugging into our broadcast or plugging into our service. We have been talking about finished up actually a little series of talking about the circle of one. The circle of one, and it causes you to examine yourself. And then we went a little further into that last Sunday, but this Sunday I want to launch out into a new series. And launch out to something, you know, that God has kind of put into my heart. So we're going to get ready as all hearts and minds. So I want you to get your Bibles out. Get your iPads out. Get your notes out. Get your iPhone, get it ready.
Your iPhone's ready.
Amen. As we begin to get into the Word of God, we thank you for my brother Freddie coming and blessing us. Amen. Come on, y'all, give him a hand clap. He has been an awesome friend, and he has been a blessing to us. Amen. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. God bless you. So I'm going to go ahead and read from this passage. Y'all ready?
Yes.
Yes, I read from the passage. 'Tis but thy name that is my enemy. Thou art thyself, though not a Montague. What's Montague? It is not hand nor foot, nor arm nor face, nor any other part belonging to a man. Oh, be some other name. What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name which smelleth sweet. So Romeo would wear be not Romeo called. Retain that dear perfection which he owes. Without that title, Romeo, doff thy name, and for that name which is not part of thee, take all myself. Now I know some of y'all are like looking at Pastor like, Pastor, what Pastor the scripture is you reading from? What passage of scripture? Pastor, what is that? Is that the Message version of the Bible? What you reading from? What you reading from? What is that? Yes, it is. Yeah. See, if you've ever went through high school and you had to read the start of Romeo and Juliet, that's what I was reading from. But you have to understand, it's going to be in the topic of what I want to talk about today, because this Romeo and Juliet sonnet, or this passage, written by Shakespeare many times ago. And we're not necessarily going to talk about Romeo and Juliet and Shakespeare per se. However, it's interesting that, you know, if you've never ever have read the full story of Romeo and Juliet or seen the movie, the hip hop version and traditional version, whichever the one, I know it doesn't really matter. But if you have not seen it, heard it, read it, or whatever the case may be. But with throwing away all the conflict and throwing away all of the drama and throwing away all of the tragedy and throwing away the love story and all these different things that poem, that sonnet, whatever. What I just read to you was a scene by Juliet and Romeo. Matter of fact, it was probably one of the most romantic scenes of any literary passage that there could ever be. That play that I just read, that piece of that play, basically gives something that kind of makes a direct beeline to what God has spoken in my spirit. Now, when God had popped that in my spirit, this, you know, when I was getting this all together and kind of when the series was downloading into my spirit, I was like, Lord, why that? But see, what we fail to realize is that a lot of times people that may not be associated with you or know you, or things that may not be in your circle or in your surroundings, will present something that will cause you to think. And when God began to put this in my spirit, I'm going to read it again, little parts of it that I want you to resonate on. He began to speak to me, and he began to say this very thing. So Juliet, as she's talking to Romeo, I'm gonna give you a little bit of a scenario synopsis if I can. And we're gonna get into the true word of God. But y'all bear with me. But you have a Romeo and Juliet, and what it basically is that you have this battle between two houses. Matter of fact, it's a battle between two names. I can't remember exactly all the names right now because it's a whole long time, but I've read Romeo and Juliet, and when I was in high school, I used Cliff Notes, and I looked at the movie. So I'm not really a literary student of Romeo and Juliet. I'm just make that clear right now. We're just going to do the bootleg version of Romeo and Juliet. But nevertheless, the meaning of that particular sonnet is where you'll find Romeo and Juliet, and they're in a moment where they are talking and interchanging, and they're expressing their love for each other. But yet and still, there is a conflict that resolves. There's a conflict that is there that they can't get around. So Juliet says, and she says in the sonnet, "'Tis but thy name that is my enemy. Thou art thyself, though not Montague." What's Montague? Montague is Romeo's name. Listen to me very carefully. Montague is Romeo's name, okay? But she goes down and says, "What's in a name that which you call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet?" What she's basically saying is this, and I want you to get this point in your mind, is that what she's basically saying is, what is actually in your name? Because if you call it anything else, you still would be the same thing that it was. In other words, we have a potato and a potato, a tomato and a tomato. No matter what you call it, it is still the same thing, right? And that reasoning or that statement or that thought or that process is very intriguing. And many times you would think that it is a intriguing thought that would cause a posing view, meaning that whatever you may call something, the value is not in the name, but in the thing itself. Today I want to talk about the making of a great name. You see, in Proverbs, this is one of the scriptures, Proverbs 12, 1 and 2, and it says that a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. You see, when we read in Proverbs, Proverbs kind of kicks against what Juliet was speaking of in its sense. Because even though Juliet may have not been putting any value into the name, but looking at the thing, because that's what she is desiring, Proverbs begins to put the name first, and it says that a great name, a good name, is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver and gold. I'm going to read that again, because a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. You see, we all were given a name. I was talking to my wife the other day, and it was kind of funny because I was telling her, you know, like when I was young, probably maybe about Zeke's age, you know, I mean, I like my name. Zeke, Zach, I'm sorry. No.
Romero.
The help of me. Romero's age, I'm sorry. See, I mess up people's names. Sorry. Speaking of names. But when I was his age, you know, it was crazy because for some odd reason, for some crazy thought, I did not like the name that I was given. Now, I love it now because it does honor to my father, right? And it puts me in line with a lot of different things. But I didn't want Robert James Douglas Jr. I don't know what was wrong with me at that time. Don't know what I was watching. I really can't recall. But I had this thing in my mind that I wanted my name to be Duke. 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 Duke Dice. Don't know. Wasn't even putting initials together. Like D&D. Yeah, that worked. Duke Dice. Right? And, you know, I remember when I was a kid, you know, I've been going around calling myself Duke. But I was playing around one day. I said, no, I want my name to be Duke. Mama, I said, what? We'll go sit down somewhere. And it's interesting because my mother named me and my brothers all with our names. What's in the name? I'm named Robert. My oldest brother's named Reggie. And the middle one is named Ryan. So when somebody gets in trouble and they're frustrated, they don't know which one to call because they say, Ryan or Robert, you know who I'm talking to. Come here, you. Same person, but sometimes we get different names. So we're given a name at our birth. That's stamped on our certificates, stamped on our birth certificates, whatever the case may be. And as we grow old, as we begin to get into our lives, as we begin to get into college and get into, you know, these different things, we're trying to do something to make our name great. We may get a part of a society, we get a part of a certain level of people. We may try to get some type of title that we put behind our name or put in the front of our name. We may get a doctorate or a PhD or whatever it is. We may have our associates and arts degree because we want to make sure that the name that people hear, the name that people see, the name that is resonating, I want people to know my name. I want Facebook likes, I want Instagram likes. We want our name to be known. It's crazy that many companies will find or spend millions and millions of dollars just to get a name of a product or a business or a service out there. It's called branding. So they'll do different things to try to make sure that whatever the name is, they try to make it look good. I know because I kind of do some of that stuff. Is that they'll give it the right type of color that would be attractive. They give it the right type of look, the right type of feel. They want to know to see what type of target audience is this name going to be presented to. And then on top of that, they give you the insight of the name. They give you how the name was originated. They give you what the name basically represents because they want you to understand that they've tried to create a great name. So they'll spend millions and millions upon millions of dollars just to register, trademark, or copyright, to present, to show, to display, to enlarge, to decrease, to minimize, to magnify the name. What great name are you trying to populate? See, it's good to have a great name because what Proverbs basically speaks of is not necessarily the name of that person, but it's good to have a good name. See, a good name basically points to the character of that name. If your name is bad, then people don't want to be around you. When people say that name, oh Lord, not that person coming to the barbecue. Not this person coming. Oh Lord, not little Willie coming around. Because remember last time, little Willie turned up the whole party and messed everything up. He's because of his name. See, what we have to realize is that our name is associated with our character. And actually, if you want to be the truth to be told, and I'm learning this, is that's what credit does. Uh-huh. See, credit.
Yeah, right.
Right. I'll pay. My name got bad from time to time. You know what I'm saying? I'm working on my name, praise God. I'm working on my name. See, credit basically, that validates, it gives you credit in a sense based off of your name. Because your name is associated on that credit card. That credit card really technically can't be used by anybody else other than the name that is associated on that credit card. Now, what's attached to that name is your FICO score, your rating, how good and bad you pay the bills, how you pay the people on time, how much money you use, how much money you make, how you spend your money. Where does your money go? How does it save? That is all represented by your name. That FICO score represents your name. Your social security card represents your name. Your credit score, your credit rating represents your name. When you're even buying a house or getting a job, they look at the score to see the rating of your name. When you go for a position for a job, they look at your name to see how your name is meeting the requirements of the job and if you're going to be able to be positioned to the next level because of your name. If your name is right in it, then we don't want to have on this side. So what is in a name? Now it's good to make a great name. It's good for us to try to do the great things in our lives. It's good for us to try to magnify our name. We want to have a good name about ourselves. There's nothing wrong with having a good name. There's nothing wrong with people when they see you and they hear your name. Oh yeah. They say Sister Sade, oh yeah, she's so sweet. She just smiles so nice. When they say Sister Gloria, they said, oh Gloria, did she know her stuff? She's a ride or die. Well, it's in the name.
Amen.
And I figured out, or been revealed, the top secret of how to truly make your name great. Y'all want to hear it? Turn your Bibles if you can. To John 17, 1 through 7. And here we find the secret sauce. We find the life hack. We get the insight of how to make a great name. Now I'm going to give you some information before I give you to the scripture. Don't read it ahead of us. Come on. Slow down. I'm going to give you a little bit of insight on a few things. You see? Okay, so outside of making a name for yourself, one thing that I would say, and I'm learning this, is that, let's say, for example, you have a business, right? Right? You're presenting a business or some type of business opportunity, right? One thing that I've learned, and this may be a tip for some, maybe not a tip for others, and I'm not a professional at this at all. So what I'm understanding is that when you're doing business, right, and say, for example, on Facebook, right, and you know, have you ever put a post out for a business opportunity? I've put out several for different things, right? You put a post out for a business opportunity, or whatever it may be, even for the church, so to speak, right? And here's what most people do. Because Facebook is a platform where, you know, there's so many people, and here's the thing, there's so many associations, oh my God, I'm gonna step to something kind of pop. Most of the times, the people that are on your Facebook posts, most of the times, by maybe 50% of people, you really don't even know. But because you know a person that they know, then it brings credibility to you and they begin to like you as a friend. So a lot of times when you put out a post to all your friends, let's say for example, you've got 500, 600 friends on your Facebook page and you are in the process where you selling weed caps or whatever, weed sweaters, I don't know, that old weed, recycle it, make a sweater out of it. I don't know, whatever you say. You put that nice, glamorous post out there. Do you want to get an opportunity to get in on the ground floor of a major business? If you got extra weave in your body, if you got extra weave in your head, call me. I will show you how to make money. Now, I'm saying weave, but it could be anything. So they begin to see the post, and even though they may be interested, they don't call you just right or respond. But what they do is they'll go and check out your profile. They'll see where you work, see who you know. They'll see, you know, how many times, what kind of pictures you're putting up, what's your lifestyle. They'll scroll down, see the other posts that you have. So it's always good when I'm understanding when you put out a post and you create a particular format to put other pictures of encouragement and different things like that. You know, something outside of the business, something that's like, okay, hey, have a great day. You can win. You're going to do it. God is good. I'm praying for you today. And so that pulls them in. It pulls them in so they begin to know who you are. You show them pictures of you at the basketball playing with your children. You show pictures of them. You create the image of who you are by the pictures that you present. Tip, making a great name. But what we find in the scripture, going to John, the 17th chapter, and I'm going to read the first and the seventh verse. It gives us the secret tip that we find from our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ himself. And it says it says, John 17, it says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son, here it is, that thy son may also or may glorify thee. Second verse, and thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Here's the key verse right here. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. I don't know if you understand the secret or the underlining principle that Christ is displaying as he begins to say this particular prayer. Now, mind you have to understand that he is about to face something that is very treacherous and something that is very uneasy. He's about to go into a place that is not comfortable for him. He's about to basically sacrifice himself, and the hour technically has come where he is about to allow himself to decrease, that another name, another person can be increase. He says in the sixth verse, I have manifested thy name. I have manifested thy name. I have manifested thy name. What does manifested or manifest means? If you really look at the Google definition of what manifest means, it says a display or show or feeling by one's act of or appearance that is demonstrated. It is to be evidence or to prove. So if Christ says that I have manifested thy name, then let's think about that. Because in the latter or the first part, he says, is that thou hast given me power. And he prays to God and he begins to say over all flesh that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. I manifest the name. So what Christ does is that he begins to say, first of all, he has to make this step in the understanding to understand and know that it's not even about me. It's not about my plan. It's not about my agenda. And it's not even about what I desire to do. However, that same glory or the same power, the same authority that you give me, it comes from something greater than I, and I realize that. You see, in order for us to make our name great, we first got to denounce our name. I don't know if that makes sense to many of us. You see, you have to not worry about how you feel or how you look or worrying about how embarrassed you may be because your name goes out there. Matter of fact, it took me a minute to even get on Facebook Live because I was associating my name with the fact that, oh, these people are going to judge me, these people are going to see me. It doesn't matter about the name of Robert J. Douglas or Duke. You want to call me Duke, I'm okay with that, but I'm still gonna stick with Robert J. Douglas because I like that better. Matter of fact, but if you say y'all better grow with me, come on, here we go, we're moving. I like my name because my name represents something greater than I. But what I have realized is that my name has been associated with my flesh in so many cases. And it's time that now, if I ever want to do everything that God desires me to do, that I have to understand, as Christ understood, that I'm nothing merely but a vessel. And even in that vessel, that I am nothing. So that means that everything that is within me has to be poured out. Everything that is inside of me, everything of my feelings and my hangups and my insecurities and my John Legend says, my curves, bumps, and edges and all that stuff. I realize that he made me, and when he made me good. And it doesn't matter what people may say about me or say about you. It doesn't matter what they may think. It does not matter what they either put out on Facebook about you. It doesn't matter whatever reality they think that they have made up about you. You must understand that God knows who you are. And God has invested so much inside of you that he has trusted you to make his name great. So Christ refers back to the very essence of when he was with the Father. And he begins to say, God, just like when I was with you then, and you have allowed your glory to shine on me. And as I had come down into my lowest state of being, you got to understand, get this message and get this good. This is all new to me right now because of the fact this was not what's on my paper, but this is coming straight from heaven. You have to understand that God had transformed himself into the likeness of us. Filthy, ragged men, filthy, ragged vessels, so that he could come down in low state. And that very thing which was not valued by many people, that very thing which they rejected. Matter of fact, when he was born, he didn't have a place to lay his head. Y'all know the story. Y'all know the Christmas story. Y'all had your Christmas speeches and your Easter speeches, but there was no room for the inn. But you have to understand, even though Christ's name was in a low state, it had to be so because he was making a greater name than himself. You see, Christ understood the very essence of the power and the glory that came from his Father. So when he came down this earth, he knew that everything that I must do it for a greater name. I must do and live my life in a greater name. I must do things in a greater way. That scripture where it says that I can manifest thy name, wow, it hit me hard. And I'm going to tell you why, because I already read the definition to you of what it means. It means to basically, really it means to display. You see, if I had a designer purse, right? Or matter of fact, a watch, right? On this watch, the name is manifested on there. It's displayed. Now, this is an invented watch. That don't mean nothing. But it's on the thing. So when you see it, or if you have a designer purse or whatever you have, Prada, Gucci, whatever it is, I don't know what's happening now. The name is always displayed on the item. But for physical things, you always see it because it wants you to make it, you may know. But here's the secret. Sometimes the name can be so great that you don't even got to put the name on the project. I think that would be Christ understood the very essence of that. He understood the value and the awesomeness of who God was, that it wasn't something that he could just brand on his chest. See, a lot of times people are walking around with the name of God on their t-shirt, with the name of even Christ himself on their, you know, on their, you know, on the cars, everything like that. But when you look at the name, just like I was saying before, when you look at the name, you can't help but to see what else is on it. So in other words, I'm gonna say it like this. If say, for example, you ride out there with a BMW, you got the name on there, but that BMW don't work. Then in a sense, you kind of devalue the name, because what they have said about the BMW, they said that the BMW is a type of car that will go on and on if you've made this right. So then when they look at, okay, that's a BMW, but it's sitting on bricks. Windows busted out, paint job is coming off. And when you look at the other classifications of other BMWs, it seems like everything is going fine. But this particular BMW has something that was, yeah. I'll tell you what it was. It was the owner, right? Christ understood that he had a responsibility to make sure that he displayed the name in a greater way than he could. And he didn't have to promote it. He didn't have to say, I am the Son of the Living God. I'm Christ, the Savior of the world. You don't have to say it like that. I was watching Game of Thrones. It was interesting because when each particular king or each particular person that had influence, I don't know if y'all watch the movie Game of Thrones or whatever you may watch. But there were particular characters that would come, and when they would come before these great other people, they would always have somebody introduce them. My name is Robert J. Davis. I am the father of miracles. I'm the keeper of coins. I am the servant of the restored. Sound good, huh? So each time they came into this presence of these great people, they had to have somebody say their name. Christ understood that if I come to the presence of people, I don't care if they say my name. I want them to see his name. And it ain't even branded on his chest yet. But here's the thing, here's the secret sauce, is that when we manifest his name, he begins to display the character, not his character, but he displays the character of God. He displays the authority of God, the compassion of God, the love of God, the stability of God, the awesomeness of God, but more so, the restraint of God. What I mean by restraint is that he's able to keep himself because he knows that there's something greater than I. You know, Christ probably wanted to cuss all the people out. That's just me. That's just my take on it. I'm sorry. Christ probably wanted to just say, yo, he turned over tables. He probably did. But he understood. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And every miracle that he did, every blessing that he broke off, it was always given to the Father. I don't do these things because
I'm trying to make my name great. I do these things because I am trying to make you know that he is great. And for us to make a great name, you have to deny yourself, deny your ability, deny the desire to want to do certain things so that God can be glorified inside of you. See, it's one thing to wear a Christian t-shirt. It's another thing to wear a Christian t-shirt, but you don't even act like Christ. Because the thing about it is that what you are displaying, you are causing yourself to be a stumbling block. Now, mind you, there are other people that are trying to display the very same thing that you said that you're displaying on your t-shirt. Nevertheless, God's name is so powerful that it cannot be contaminated. The only thing that actually happens, just like that BMW, they said, oh, okay, you got to look like a Christian. You got the t-shirt like a Christian, but you don't act like a Christian. I know that ain't God because that's a Christian. That's a Christian. That's a child of God. That's a child of God. Even in pressure, that's a, I've seen what the glory of God looks like. I've seen what having a great name or a great power that's working inside of you and the restraint that you have. I've seen it in operation, and that's not real. That's not it. Y'all know that, it's fine. He's going to be preaching pretty soon. God is in a position now where God is trying to find, is there a vessel on this earth that will just show me that just a little bit of willingness like Christ, just a little bit. Will you just go over there and just be nice?
Yeah.
Will you just go over there and just be forgiven? Will you go over there and just share my love? Will you just go over there and give them something to eat? When you clothe them, you clothe me. When you feed them, you feed me. When you treat them right, you are treating me right. See, we have to understand that we are associated with something that is much greater than I, whereas I have to make sure that every fiber in my being exudes the love and the glory of God, not so that I can be popular. So it don't even matter about Facebook anymore. But if they see the essence of Christ in my life, why everything that I try to do, yes, I may hope. Yes, I may mess up. Yes, I may not look good all the time. But my heart shows that I'm trying the best that I can to please the Father. I'm not trying to make Robert J. Douglas' name great. I'm trying to make Christ's name great. Because when I make Christ's name great, I make God's name great. And when God's name is great, then he can be glorified. So when I be lifted up, I shall draw all men. Now, it's not always easy, but it's worth it. I can even imagine at this time when you think about Christ as he's beginning to pray, and he begins to say to God in just a loose conversation that I want to say, he begins to tell him, say, look, God, my hour has come. It's time for me to transition over into the next phase of this life. Now, the process, it's not pleasing, but the results are praiseworthy.
Yes.
Sometimes in your process, your situation is uncomfortable. When God is transitioning your heart to get you to forgive, when God is transitioning your heart, getting you to expand that area for those people that you basically shut out. Oh, watch out. God begins to expand that level because what he's doing, he's now taking it to the next phase, and it's not even about you, I'm making his name great. And here's the thing, what Christ did, it's kind of interesting, is that what Christ did was, he basically took on the character of God and displayed the character of God in every facet, in every form, in every way, to everyone. Whereas those that were training with him, this is what I'm saying, those that were in his surroundings, in his area, knew who he was, heard about him. They had a glimpse of a higher authority operating on the earth. You see, in the Old Testament, when Moses would go up to the mountain and bring the tablets, there was a fear that of God. They couldn't look at God face to face. Their face would change. Everything, because, you know, even Moses himself, he looked at God, he only saw the back of God. All this hair was gold, silver. He just came out with this. Hallelujah. That's just how pure and how holy he is. But they begin to see that there is something that is different from every king that we have seen. It is someone that is so secure about himself that he comes in and he doesn't have to sit at the table with the other priests. He doesn't sit in the purple seat. He doesn't sit on the front row. He doesn't have to have it, well, he did ask the disciple, but he doesn't have to have a full entourage go to the bathroom with him. Matter of fact, when he went to go sit, to go minister to a woman that he should not have really technically, literally been talking to because of the rules and the religiosity of we can't talk to this person. At that time, he sent the disciples away and he sat at the well, maybe for hours, ministering to someone that many people felt was not even worthy. But he saw something in her because God saw something in him. And when God sees something in us, we can't help but to share that same lesson and look at the same lens or the same eyesight that we do for other people. And we begin to draw them into not you, not your no business, not your little clique, not even your little church clique, not even your program, but something that is greater than us. See, I'm not trying to draw people to RTR Live because I want this thing to be packed and full to the thing. I want people to experience the love of God that we are desiring to display. I want people to experience the fact that they can be restored. I want them to see each and every one of our testimonies on display right through us, but also see the restoration power of a living God working and operating in us, even though we don't know how to do it, but God still favors us. Even though we don't have the degree, but God still blesses us and opens up every door. Even though we're not worthy, he made us worthy. Because it's not us, it's not who we know, it's not what we do, but it's about our worship to him. Making his name great. Let God may be glorified. That's why it is important that we fellowship. It is because of the fact that sometimes people just got to see.
Yeah.
People just got to see. I'm not talking about on Facebook see. I'm talking about people just got to see. Donald Thomas, trying to understand his name of this Christ is talking about. I heard about what he said he's going to do. He said he was going to do these things. But what power does he do these things in? I never see it. I ain't gonna believe it until I see it. Let me touch it. Did you touch it? See for myself. And when Christ came, where the disciples were, and he not even hearing the conversation, he said, Thomas, go ahead and touch this. Feel the nail that was put in my hand. Matter of fact, tell you what, give me the hand and feel the side. Where they pierced me in the side. And with that alone, you have to know that there is a God. You have to know that there is a God. In many of our lives, we understand that the name of God has been stamped for everything. Now, mind you, when I say the name of God, I'm also talking about the blood of Jesus Christ as well. One in the same. Triune God, three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But just like that stair that's on this picture, I like the fact that that stair is associated with that name. It may not be that stamp that says top confidential, in a sense, secret. And in a sense, it really is. Because here's the thing about it. It is something that you don't find on Facebook or know you can find in Walmart. It is something that you have to get on your knees and give up yourself in your secret time and find out all the mystery. All the mysteries of what God is about. You can't, matter of fact, It's in the book, but it's not in the book. Yeah. It's written in the book. You got to study to show yourself approved. Get up in that thing real good. And all of a sudden, revelation begins to open up. And God begins to tell you the secret about how much he loves you. He begins to tell you the secret of, I saw you when you were in your mother's womb. And I already given you a name. I called you to be a prophet for my glory. He even goes to that point when you were lying in somebody else's bed that wasn't yours. And I said, I saw you there. My heart was grieved. But I knew that if you would just realize that there's a better plan for your life. And even though the enemy is trying to surround you and to destroy you, I have blocked every plot and every plan of the enemy. You are stamped with my love. And my name is your name, and your name is my name. Twined with you, I come, and I'm marrying you. I know you got baggage. I know you got insecurities. I know you got brokenness, but I am marrying you because I'm giving you a greater name. Yeah. Giving you a greater name. See, that's what it is when we come to Christ. Christ is that bridge. And he begins to give us the name and the inheritance. Y'all don't see what I'm talking about. See, when you didn't have nothing, now you got everything.
Yeah.
See, you didn't even pay. Come on now, I gotta get that. You didn't have it even in your pocket. But when you accepted Christ, you got everything. I got all my keys. I got all my joy. Come on now, I got all that joy because he signed his name on my life.
Thank you, Lord.
A greater name.
Hallelujah.
I have a father that owns the cattle.
Oh,
1,000 years. Yeah. His son went to prepare a place for me. I'll just say that. For us.
Yeah.
Oh, because then, matter of fact, it's interesting because when we glorify his name, he puts our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's why your name is not really that important right now. It's not important to you. Or to you, or to all these people that we're trying to impress. As long as he knows your name. But before him to know your name, you've got to know his name. You got to invest the time to make his name great. And how you invest the time to make his name great is you make your lifestyle his lifestyle.
Amen.
You make your thought his thought.
Amen.
You make your life his life. Be ye not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing. What do you have to lose? Because society will put you into a bubble or put you into this bridge or put you into this gap, and you're gonna mess up your name. That thing gonna make you embarrassed. You go out there and you start beating these homeless people, they gonna you ain't got no license and stuff like that. You're gonna start doing this stuff. You go on Facebook and all this stuff. Why are you doing all that stuff? You're going to mess up your people. You're probably going to laugh at you. Let them laugh. Because I'm not presenting my name out there. I'll present my name as a vessel. But he's the one that actually is who I'm trying to glorify.
That's right.
So it doesn't matter what people say.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what people do. It doesn't matter what people think. Matter of fact, it doesn't even matter what you think about yourself. If we can get ourselves out of the way, then there's greater things that we can do. It's like, first over here, I use this in business so many ways, this is kind of how God lives with me sometimes, with business deals or insurance. Oh, I'm kind of afraid to talk to these people because I may not know everything that I think I know. I was going off, man, I can't remember half this stuff. Oh, man, I don't know half the stuff. I don't really have this. Man, I don't know half this stuff. Shoot. And you get on that conversation with them, and they say, triple, you know. Hold on for a minute. Let me, hold on. But if you just, you know, I'm going to mess it up. And I'm a good messer up or fixer. I float. Woo! Man, tell me what, I float. But I need my float. Well, you know, that's a good question. I didn't even think about it like that. But let me tell you what. I'm researching this right now as I'm speaking to you. So how you doing? How's your mama doing? How are your pastor doing? Everybody just up there? Yeah, how are you talking about this? Yeah, he was for the Super Bowl, didn't he? Yeah, he did. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! Matter of fact, I found that it's... Go ahead and do it. A lot of times people are missing out on opportunities. Now, I'm saying opportunities, I'm going to say the scripture says too. For opportunities for the people to be blessed and to be healed in another capacity because we are so caught up and it stops right here. But we miss the blessing that's associated with the service. Meaning, God says, I need you to go there and tell that person that I love you. But we won't do it because, oh Lord, you may reject me. They may think that I'm nothing, I don't have no word or truth, whatever. So we don't do it. And so this person goes on in their life thinking and missing out on the fact that they could have been released that day. So now God has to reposition things, but you already knew it before you knew you were going to reject it. He said, okay, fine, we'll do it. So now you step back, you don't do that assignment, and then you begin to wonder why this person didn't come minister to you. Because you didn't do the first sowing of the seed first. And you miss out on the blessing of what God has. See, God is looking for a conduit. Absolutely. That's why I'm so glad we looked at this man. We bam, like, bam, 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 what, bam, yeah, and bam, 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 bam. Only been a few months. But we like on that same thing. Because you know why we're on the same thing? Because he's doing the same things that I'm trying to do. He's trying to make God's name great. Ain't about that Israel. It's about the name of the living God, healing and sin, saving souls. No matter what nation, no matter what country it is. When I talked to him, he was sharing with me how the things that he was, you know, was going on. I'm like, wow. Don't you know that some people get killed for just trying to be a Christian? Some people, their whole families are killed just because they won't give in to somebody's a dictatorship or whatever the thing is. But we're afraid to just praise him openly. We're praise him to say that I'm saved, sanctified, I'm doing the Holy Ghost. I know I made some mistakes, but I'm trying. We're afraid to say, yes, I believe in Christ. We're afraid to say, have you accepted Christ as your personal Savior? If not, hey, I don't know everything there is to know, but I tell you what, how about we help? Let's do this thing together. That's all you got to say. I don't know everything, but he knows everything. That's the secret. If you want to get successful, acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy path. That's, you acknowledge him. Okay, what is his name? His name is Jesus. And Jesus, I know you got the power, because you get that power from on.
Amen.
Yes, sir. We pass these tests, all the other tests that's coming out. I know you can. I know you're able. Not by my name, not by my experience, not my education, but it's about what you know. And that is the secret of making God's name great. And that should be our desire. And when we find out that it's in our desire, what we're going to find is that God already has a purpose and a plan that shall be revealed in another time. You see, when you begin to bless God, God is obligated now to bless you. He does it for his name's sake.
Yes.
You know what namesake means? I do it because my name is so credible, I have to do it. I'm obligated to my own. God is obligated to his own name. He's not obligated to nothing higher than him because he is the highest. He is obligated to his own name. Whatever that word is talking about God and what God shall do, he's obligated to the word that he already said that he was going to do. I am that what I am. I am righteousness. I am integrity. I am success. I am peace. I am joy. I am the healer. I'm all these things. So when you ask for some type of healing, my name says that I have to release that healing. That's my name.
I choose to do what I want to do. But I said that I can, so I have to fall. Let's make his name great. Let's make his name great. That's the introduction. When you introduce, that's what God Christ did. He introduced him. You should be introducing him. John the Baptist, powerful man of God. Baptized, dunk him. Ha! 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 Dunk him! Ha! He had more ducks than Michael Jordan. But he said, there's one that's coming. I'm not even ready to tie his shoes. There he is. And here's a blessing. Here's a blessing. Christ understood that even though he is actually has authority and power over John, he submitted to what John was doing because John was doing it for the Father. I never thought about it like that. So Jesus came right into alignment with the Word of God, which he was the Word, and submitted himself unto the Father to be baptized by the man so that he may be glorified by God. The devil came down. And about it validated who he was. This is my son. Hear ye him. But if he didn't submit down, what would have happened? Go on and give God praise. Thank you for the great name. I hope that this has been a blessing to you. I just got blessed myself.
Amen. Yes.
There'll be one that don't know Christ as a personal Savior. I know we're in the house, we all know. But I come to faith, come to be with you nevertheless. Maybe you are going to that next level in your life. There's questions that you have, or things that you are uncertain about, things that you are unsure about, things that you don't even understand, or things that you just are fearful about. Let's stand in faith, come and agree with you today. Because I believe that whatever God has in store for you, it may require you to die, it may require you to sacrifice again. But don't worry about it. He got you. He got you in the palm of his hand. I have seen and experienced the blessings of God throughout so many facets of my life. Even when I really wasn't looking for it, God still blessed. Just recently, just blessed. Just blessed. I wasn't even looking for certain things in life. He just blessed. Hey, hey, hey. Just, What? You know, here you go. Here you go. You know, here you go. I don't worry about here you go. You ever been to, you ever been to a restaurant and you just kept tipping the person? No, you haven't been to a restaurant. You know how much is 10%? 10%. 15%. Let's say for them, I got a purchase can't give me a one. You just had a joy in your heart that you I've had it before where you have a joy when you God tell you to bless somebody. So you bless them, you think with what's one amount. Like, you know, yeah, it is. Then all of a sudden, it's just matter of fact, it happened in the ministry one time. You know, it just God said, oh, I'll take that. I'll just take that. Oh man, it's gonna take my whole thing. It's gonna take. Because I knew that blessing that person, matter of fact, it was without the sake of it was husband and wife that ministered at our church. Happened twice. I remember one in the last facility and one in the facility before that. And the Lord spoke to me to do this, and I did, and I asked y'all to do it, and it just came, it was like, ah. Just fly. Just it was an overflow blessing. That's how God does sometimes. And when that happened, because of the fact God knows the situation, knew the situation, knew what it was, and blessed them in another way, God is now, he's doing things because God is blessing them. You know, and they're doing some of the things for other people. You know what I'm saying? But you never know, God will position you in a position, a particular situation, and maybe in a function you may not even understand it. But I want to get to that place where it's just, okay, yeah, all right, cool. Everything else take care of. Okay, God, okay, cool. Because if I'm doing that, then I can always do this. It's really more like this. This that new dance is going to be on TikTok. Matter of fact, it's going to be.
But that was the time. Amen. That's how we know all your lives. As you get, you shall give. Because you're waiting for the next thing that you're going to get. Now, out of that getting, you're going to get something that's going to kind of blow out of the bucket that's going to be in the house that you can just, you know, pick out, put in your savings. Because you get all that, and it's still flowing. And you say, okay, shit this back. Amen. Amen. Everyone that desires to be a part of this great mission. Accept you.
Amen.
Praise God. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's come and stand at my feet. And if this has been a blessing to you again, you can reach us on rtrmi.org. I believe that you're also on our podcast as well, rtrmiradio.com. Go to the website, tell them. But if this is a blessing to you, please let us know. We want to connect with you. Sign up on the forums, those different things, so that we may be able to contact you back and invite you to some of the biggest things that are coming out. There is something that's about to take place that we're going to be a part of, partner up with Pastor Israel. I believe it's going to be May 1st. We have a night of worship.
Amen.
Night of worship. I'm looking forward to that.
Amen.
May 1st, Saturday night, right here, in this place,
Amen.
Night of worship. We're going to have, I believe, I'm working on having Kaya come, do some worship, and that makes other things that get spoken about. But keep posting, we'll basically kind of put something out real soon. Amen. Gracious and Heavenly Father God, thank you for your word today. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for all that you have said and what you're about to do. And Father God, we just make your name great today.
Yes.
Father, even in this week, Father, we are going to make sure that we honor you in all our ways. We will honor your name. We're going to lift up the name. That there'll be no other name, not even our name, God. We will all do all things to the glory of you. So God, I pray that right now, if there's any pride, if there's any animosity, any hindrance, any hatred, any depression, anything that we feel is going to cause us not to do what you have ordained, we ask that you remove right now. We thank you for healing our bodies that you may be glorified. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. And Father, we thank you that right now, after all is said and done, after the curtain has been closed, that today, this day, what's the day? 27th?
Yeah,
March 27th.
28th.
March 28th. Today. Yeah, 2021. We have been healed, we have been delivered, and praise God, we have been restored. This is Pastor B and RTR Ministries. We are out. God bless you. And you have a great day. God bless you.
Let's get a trash. Everything you know.